Reading from Surrender Unto Me, an overview of the Bhagavad Gita. This is chapter 13, Nature, Enduring Consciousness, text 6 through 7. The five great elements, Krishna says, false ego, intelligence, the unmanifested, the 10 senses, and the mind, the five sense objects, desire, hatred, happiness, distress, the aggregate, the life symptoms and convictions, all these are considered in summary to be the field of activities and its interactions. Coming. Here, Krishna gives a more detailed explanation of the field of activities. Text 6 lists the five great elements, false ego, intelligence, the unmanifested, the 10 senses, the mind, and the five sense objects, the 24 material elements. Text 7 describes seven qualities of the mind derived from the interactions of the 24 elements. These qualities are also within the realm of the living entity's field of activities. Krishna mentioned in text 4 that he would discuss vikaras, the changes undergone by the body. Srila Prabhupada mentions these changes in his purport. Quote, the body is the representation of all these factors, and there are changes of the body, which are six in number. The body is born, it grows, it stays, it produces byproducts, then it begins to decay, and at the last stage, it vanishes. Therefore, the field is a non-permanent material thing. However, the cetagya, the knower of the field, its proprietor, is different. That's the end of the citation for Prabhupada's purport. Our comment continues. The field of activities for the conditioned soul can be compared to a playground in a backyard surrounded by a big fence. The child playing there has freedom to play as he wishes, but he cannot extend his activities beyond the allotted field. He is limited by the fence. Similarly, the living entity is limited by the interactions of his body, mind, and karma, which constitutes his field of activities. An earthworm, for an example, has a very small field of activities. He cannot read, write, jump, or run. He can simply crawl through the dirt surface when it rains and crawl back into the soil when the rain stops. A dog has a relatively larger field of activities, and a human being a still larger one. One's cetra is based on his karma. A wealthy child will possess many toys to play with in his backyard, but he is still restricted by the fence. Although he may be proud of the scope of his playground and even think himself happy and free with his swing and toy car and sandbox, he is nevertheless absorbed only in an insignificant backyard. He knows nothing of life beyond the fence. Similarly, the living entity, according to the limitations of the body and mind he has received through his karma, cannot see beyond his limited field of activities. Every living entity's cetra is arranged by his karma through the agency of Maya. Krishna, therefore, is not partial, because as the supersoul, the knower of all cetras, he simply sanctions the awarding of each living entity's field of activities. Krishna next explains the process of knowledge. That process which helps the living entity transcend his insignificant and limited, quote, backyard. Texts 8 through 12. Humility, pridelessness, nonviolence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age, and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All these I declare, says Krishna, to be knowledge, and beside this, whatever there may be, is ignorance. Comment. This is a continuation of Krishna's explanation of knowledge. Krishna has already defined knowledge as knowing the field and the two knowers of the field. These verses describe the process of obtaining jnana. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, of the 20 items mentioned, 17 applied to both the jnani and the bhakta. The last two, accepting the importance of self-realization, adhyatma jnana nityatvam, and philosophical search for the absolute truth, tattva jnanartha darshanam, are technically only for the jnanis. Quote, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, end quote, is the sole quality specifically for the devotee. All other qualities come to a devotee who exclusively endeavors for constant, unalloyed devotion. These 20 items include qualities such as cleanliness, which, if developed, are favorable for spiritual advancement. They also include elements of the process of advancement, such as approaching a bona fide spiritual master and perceiving the evils of birth, death, disease, and old age. Integrated as a process, these items are the means of acquiring transcendental knowledge or an accurate understanding of the body, the soul, and the supersoul. Therefore, taken as a process that carries one to transcendence, these 20 items have nothing to do with the field of activity and its interactions. Srila Prabhupada explains the relationship between the process of knowledge and the field of activities. Quote, this process of knowledge is sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent men as being the interaction of the field of activity. But actually, this is the real process of knowledge. If one accepts this process, then the possibility of approaching the absolute truth exists. This is not the interaction of the 24 elements as described before. This is actually the means to get out of the entanglement of those elements. End quote. In the next set of verses, 13 through 19, Krishna addresses Arjuna's sixth topic, the object of knowledge. And we shall end here and continue soon, Krishna willing.